Montreal, Quebec. This is the Bard Brawl.
I can't. Welcome, Bard Brawlers, to the Bard Brawl. We're deciding, can you have anything against the New York Islanders? Please go to bardbrawl.com and leave us a detailed comment if you can or cannot. We'll read it and definitely respond. I am with Eric Jean, who also thinks you cannot have anything against the New York Islanders.
Are they going to be renamed as the Brooklyn Islanders? Or they're going to stay New
York? No. I heard there was this story. Someone from that area said they're going to... There's some sort of money person.
Sure.
Is going to move in Brooklyn, and they're going to play there for the time being, and then move back to the Nassau Coliseum.
Oh.
It sounded very exciting.
Because that's different than what I heard. I just heard that they were just moving to
Brooklyn. Yeah, that's what I heard originally. Then someone from the area said there was some way that it was going to stay there.
Well, that's bad. Just, have you been to the Nassau Coliseum?
Well, that's why they need to...
It's the ugliest... It's almost... Actually, I think it's marginally uglier than the building for the Ottawa Senators in Kanata.
Oh.
Just barely, but it's pretty bad.
Compared to Big O, Big O is still the bottom, right?
No, Big O beats it.
Yeah,
Big O. Part of the problem is if you get it to the Nassau Coliseum, first of all, it's crumbling. It's like
the Big O's better than it?
Yes. Because it actually... The problem that you don't get to the entire parking lot ocean, but when you drive by the Nassau Coliseum, you see the sort of... You know, the Coliseum in the middle of this enormous parking lot, flat expanse of parking lot. It looks like a mall. Looks like a mall they play hockey in.
Sorry, Islanders fans. This is the Bard Brawl. What are we doing talking about the Islanders? Well, we talk about it because it's part of the Bard Brawl.
When you're not around Bard Brawl listeners, the sports and Shakespeare are pretty much the two things that...
Yeah, they come together in the Bard Brawl. We accept all kinds, as proven by our various readers throughout Bard Brawl. We have been listening to Twelfth Night for the last two acts. We're doing this because it's getting close to Twelfth Night. January 5th is apparently the day. Mm-hmm. Although you can prove me wrong and write a big long comment article about that. It's a very fun play, as you've already heard.
I think it's probably the best straight-up comedy. Yeah. And I'm not a huge comedy, like Shakespeare's comedies, but this one's like the solid one. If you're going to read one, read this one.
Yeah, and it's got a great, like the bait and switches work, and the gender bending works, and the drunken lord works, and everything works. So we decided to go back to this one, because we haven't been with you for a while. Side note, if you go to Zunes on the Bard Brawl website and pick up the second edition, the second volume T of Zunes, there is an article on there based on Twelfth Night.
That's true.
And it is written by Stephanie E.M. Coleman, and it's related to Meggings.
Which is related to the third act of Twelfth Night.
Which is what you're going to hear. So... Mm-hmm. If you needed an additional reason to buy Zunes, which you didn't.
But we're generous.
We're generous. We're giving it to you. It comes about in this act. So go to barball.com, click on Zunes, buy tea, buy the Sonnet one too. Why not? Both of them are really fun because we're going to be launching a third one very, very soon. Act 3 features some great voices. Me, Eric, and Stephanie E.M. Coleman, of course. Jay Reed is the indomitable figure of Sir Toby Belch. Second, Jay Ovenden and Zoe Baldwin return to us one more time. And...
Mr. Aguecheek, I think, is being read by Mr. Amrit Sanger.
The give and take between Aguecheek and Sir Toby Belch in this act is very funny.
Yeah, in fact, if you only get a chance to listen to one act, this is the one you should listen to.
And the fact that it's Amrit and Jay is quite something. So enjoy this, Bard Brawl listeners, and we'll be back with you very, very shortly. For Act 4, have a good listen. We'll be with you shortly.
See ya.
So, we are in Act 3. We are still in Illyria. Well, England, basically. No. But let's pretend it's Illyria.
It's delirious.
Yeah, but they never really feel like they're anywhere other than England. By the way, thank you for adding that little bit from Shakespeare in Love to kind of preview it. Mm. It got me excited. The end of Shakespeare in Love, they talk about this play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we are in Olivia's garden. No. Oh, we have Viola. Who was reading Viola?
That was me.
It was you. We have Clown. Second Jay was reading Clown. Sir Toby. Who is Sir Toby? Oh.
First Jay.
The one and only First Jay. Sir Andrew Eggencheek was Andre. So if Emmerich, you could take that. Olivia was, I think, were you Olivia, Eric?
It was Andre.
Was it Andre?
Yeah. Yeah, I can be Olivia, though.
Yeah, you can pinch it for Olivia. And Gentlewoman, I will be a gentlewoman. So enter Viola and Clown with a tabor. What's a tabor?
A little drum, I think.
With a drum.
Save thee, friend, and thy music. Dost thou live by thy tabor?
No, sir. I live by the church.
Art thou a churchman?
No such matter, sir. I do live by the church, for I do live at my house. My house doth stand by the church.
So thou mayest say the king lies by a beggar if a beggar dwell near him, or the church stands by thy tabor if thy tabor stand by the church.
You have said, sir, to see this age, a sentence is but a cheveril glove to a good wit. How quickly the wrong side may be turned outward.
Nay, that's certain, that they that dally nicely with words may quickly make them wanton.
I would, therefore, my sister had no name, sir.
Why, man?
Why, sir, her name's a word, and to dally with that word might make my sister wanton. But indeed words are very rascals, since bonds disgraced them.
By reason, man?
Truth, sir, I can yield you none without words, and words are grown so false, I am loath to prove reason with them.
I warrant, thou art a merry fellow, and carest for nothing.
Not so, sir, I do care for something. But in my conscience, sir, I do not care for you. And if that be to care for nothing, sir, I would it would make you invisible.
Art not thou the Lady Olivia's fool?
No, indeed, sir. The Lady Olivia has no folly. She will keep no fool, sir, till she be married. And fools are as like husbands as pilchards are to herrings. The husband's the bigger. I am, indeed, not her fool, but her corrupter of words.
I saw thee late at the Count Orsino's.
Foolery, sir, does walk about the orb like the sun. It shines everywhere. I would be sorry, sir, but the fool should be as oft with your master as with my mistress. I think I saw your wisdom there.
Nay, and thou pass upon me, I'll no more with thee. Hold, there's expenses for thee.
King. Now Jove and his next commodity of hair send thee a beard.
By my troth, I'll tell thee, I am almost sick for one.
Aside.
Though I would not have it grow on my chin. Doesn't say it in mine. Is thy lady within?
Would not a pair of these have bred, sir?
Yes, being kept together and put to use.
I would play Lord Pandarus of Phrygia, sir, to bring a Cressida to this Troilus.
I understand you, sir. 'Tis well begged.
The matter, I hope, is not great, sir. Begging but a beggar. Cressida was a beggar. My lady is within, sir. I will construe to them whence you come, who you are, and what you would are out of my welkin. I might say element, but the word is overworn.
Exit.
This fellow's wise enough to play the fool, and to do that well, craves a kind of wit. He must observe their mood on whom he jests, the quality of persons and the time, and, like the haggard, check at every feather that comes before his eye. This is a practice as full of labor as a wise man's art. For folly, that he wisely shows, is fit, but wise men, folly-fallen, quite taint their wit.
Enter Sir Toby and Andrew.
Save you, gentlemen!
And you, sir.
Dieu vous garde, monsieur.
Et vous aussi, votre serviteur.
I hope, sir, you are, and I am yours.
Will you encounter the house? My niece is desirous you should enter, if your trade be to her.
I am bound to your niece, sir. I mean, she is the list of my voyage.
Taste your legs, sir. Put them to motion.
My legs do better understand me, sir, than I understand what you mean by bidding me taste my legs.
I mean to go, sir, to enter.
I will answer you with gate and entrance, but we are prevented.
Enter, Olivia and gentlewoman.
Most excellent accomplished lady, the heavens rain odor the heavens rain odors on you.
That youth's a rare courtier. Rain odors well.
My matter hath no voice, lady, but to your own most pregnant and vouchsafed car.
Odors, pregnant and vouchsafed. I'll get them all three already.
Let the garden door be shut and leave me to my hearing.
Exeunt all but Olivia and Viola.
Give me your hand, sir.
My duty, madam, and most humble service.
What is your name?
Cesario is your servant's name, fair princess.
My servant, sir. It was never merry world since lowly feigning was called compliment. You are a servant to the Count Orsino, youth.
And he is yours, and his must needs be yours. Your servant's servant is your servant, madam.
For him, I think not on him. For his thoughts, would they were blanks rather than filled with me.
Madam, I come to whet your gentle thoughts on his behalf.
Oh, by your leave, I pray you, I bade you never speak him again. But you would undertake another suit. I had rather hear you solicit than music from the spheres.
Dear lady.
Give me leave, beseech you. I did send, after the last enchantment you did here, a ring in chase of you. So did I abuse myself, my servants, and I fear me you. Under your hard construction must I sit, to force that on you in a shameful cunning which you knew none of yours. What might you think? Have you not set mine honor at the stake and baited it with all the unmuzzled thoughts that tyrannous heart can think? To one of your receiving enough is shown. A cypress, not a bosom, hides my heart. Let me hear you speak.
I pity you.
That's a degree to love.
No, not a grise, for 'tis a vulgar proof that very oft we pity enemies.
Why, then methinks 'tis time to smile again. O world, how apt the poor are to be proud. If one should be a prey, how much the better to fall before the lion and the wolf.
Dong, dong, dong.
See? The clock upbraids me with the waste of time. Be not afraid, good youth. I will not have you. And yet, when wit and youth has come to harvest, your wife is like to reap a proper man. There lies your way, due west.
Then westward ho, grace and good disposition, tend your ladyship. You'll nothing, madam, to my lord by me?
Stay, I prithee tell me what thou thinks of me.
That you do think you are not what you are.
If I think so, I think the same of you.
Then think you right, I am not what I am.
And would you were as I would have you be.
Would it be better, madam, than I am? I wish it might, for now I am your fool.
Aside.
What a deal of scorn looks beautiful in the contempt and anger of his lips. A murderous guilt shows not itself more soon than love that would seem hid. Love's night is noon. Cesario, by the roses of the spring, by maidenhood, honor, truth, and everything, I love thee so that meager all thy pride, nor wit nor reason can my passions hide. Do not extort thy reasons from this clause, for that I woo, though therefore hast no cause. But rather reason thus with reason fetter. Love sought is good, but given unsought is better.
By innocence I swear, and by my youth, I have one heart, one bosom, and one truth, and that no woman has, nor never none shall mistress be of it, save I alone. And so adieu, good madam, nevermore will I my master's tears to you deplore.
Yet come again, for though thou perhaps mayst move that heart which now abhors to like his love.
Exeunt. If only there was someone who looked like Viola, but was a man, so that Olivia and Viola wouldn't have to have a female and female relationship. Mm. If only that were possible.
If only that were possible.
Hmm.
And if only there was another woman in the play who loved Orsino, so that Orsino wouldn't have to be disappointed when whoever this mysterious person was got Olivia and took him away. Oh,
I know.
Life is just too hard.
How is this ever going to work out?
It's just not happy.
This is going to work out as good as the ending of that movie AI.
Oh, obscure reference on your part.
All the cinephiles giggle and everybody else looks confused. A room in Olivia's house. We have Sir Toby, Sir Andrew, Fabian. I think that was you, Stephanie. Were you Fabian?
I think I was Fabian.
Fabio?
Yeah. But you can be
maybe
Fabian if you'd like.
And Maria, I'm Maria. If you want to take stages.
I will be stages. A room in Olivia's house. Enter Sir Toby, Sir Andrew, and Fabian.
Sorry, just a note. Sir Toby and Sir Andrew, in this scene, you will be drunk.
Okay.
So just for your characters.
Off Perrier. Anyways.
Enter Sir Toby, Sir Andrew, and Fabian.
No faith, I'll not stay a jot longer.
Thy reason, dear Venom, give thy reason.
You must needs yield your reason, Sir Andrew.
Mary, I saw your niece do more favors to the Count's servicing man than she ever bestowed upon me. I saw it to the orchard.
Oof.
Did she see the wild old boy? Tell me that.
As plain as I see you now.
This was a great argument of love in her toward you.
Slight. Will you make an ass of me?
I will prove it legitimate, sir, upon the oaths of judgment and reason.
And they have been grand jurymen since before Noah was a sailor.
She did show favor to the youth in your sight, only to exasperate you, to awake your dormouse valor, to put fire in your heart and brimstone in your liver. You should then have accosted her, and with some excellent jests, fire new from the mint, you should have banged the youth into dumbness. This was looked for at your hand, and this was balked. The double guilt of this opportunity you let time wash off, and you are now sailed into the north of my lady's opinion, where you will hang like an icicle on a Dutchman's beard, unless you do redeem it by some laudable attempt, either of valor or policy.
Can't be any way, it must be with valor for policy I hate. I had as lief be its brownest as a politician.
Why then, build me thy fortunes upon the basis of valor. Challenge me the Count's youth to fight with him, hurt him in 11 places. My niece shall take note of it, and assure thyself there is no love broker in the world can more prevail in man's commendation with the woman than report of valor.
There is no way but this, Sir Andrew.
Will either of you bear me a challenge to him?
Go! Write it in a martial hand. Be cursed and brief. It is no matter how witty, so it be eloquent and fun of invention. Taunt him with the license of ink. If thou thou'st him some thrice, it shall not be amiss. And as many lies as will lie in thy sheet of paper, although the sheet were big enough for the bed of ware in England, set him down. Go about it. Let there be gall enough in thy ink, thou, though thou write with a goose pen, no matter about it.
Where shall I find you?
We'll call thee at the cubiculo. Go.
Exit Sir Andrew.
This is a dear mannequin to you, Sir Toby.
I have been dear to him, lad, some 2,000 strong or so.
We shall have a rare letter from him, but you'll not deliver it.
Never trust me, then, and by all means stir on the youth to an answer. I think oxen and wain ropes cannot hail them together. For Andrew, if he were opened, and you would find so much blood in his liver as will clog the foot of a flea. I'll eat the rest for the anatomy.
And his opposite, the youth, bears in his visage no great presage of cruelty.
Enter Maria.
Look, where the youngest wren of 9 comes.
If you desire the spleen and will laugh yourself into stitches, follow me. Yon Gaul Malvolio is turned heathen, a very renegado. For there is no Christian that means to be saved by believing rightly can ever believe such impossible passages of grossness. He is in yellow stockings!
And cross-gartered?
Most villainously, like a pendant that keeps a school in the church. I have dogged him like his murderer. He does obey every point to the letter that I dropped to betray him. He does smile his face into more lines than is in the new map. With the augmentation of the Indies, which we conquered, you have not seen such a thing as Tis. I can hardly forbear hurtling things at him. I know my lady will strike him. If she do, he'll smile and take it for a great favor.
Come, bring us where he is.
Exit Omnes.
Illyria! Oh, this is me again.
Hmm? Illyria didn't conquer the Indies. I thought England.
Oh, right. Yes, sorry. Slipped in there.
Oops.
He thought he was in England.
I was in England.
Ooh. Sebastian. Who's Sebastian?
I was Sebastian last time. Although it might confuse the listener if I'm Maria and Sebastian.
It's no. Just,
I don't know.
Sebastian and Antonio. You were always Antonio.
That's true.
Always Antonio. All right.
Stage directions?
Yeah. Do you want to do stage directions? Go ahead.
Act 3, Scene 3, Illyria Street. Enter Sebastian and Antonio.
I would not by my will have troubled you, but since you make your pleasure of your pains, I will no further chide you.
I could not stay behind you. My desire, more sharp than filed steel, did spurn me forth. And not all love to see you, though so much as might have drawn one to a longer voyage, but jealousy what might befall your travel, being skillless in these parts, which to a stranger unguided and unfriended often prove rough and inhospitable. My willing love, the rather by these arguments of fear set forth in your pursuit.
My kind Antonio, I can no other answer make but thanks, and thanks, and ever thanks. Often, good turns are shuffled off with such uncurrent pay, but were my worth, as is my conscience firm, you should find better dealing. What's to do? Shall we go to the reliquies of this town?
Tomorrow, sir. Best first go see your lodgings.
I'm not weary, and 'tis long tonight. I pray you, let us satisfy our eyes with the memorials and the things of fame that do renown the city.
Would you'll pardon me, I do not without danger walk these streets. Once in a sea fight gainst the count his galleys, I did some service. Of such note more indeed, that were I taken here, I would scarce be answered.
Belike you slew great number of his people.
The offence is not so much of blood, of a bloody nature, albeit the quality of the time and quarrel might well have given us bloody argument. It might have since been answered in repaying what we took from them, which from traffic's sake most of our city did. Only myself stood out, for which if I be lapsed in this place, it shall pay dear.
Do not then walk too open.
It doth not fit me. Hold, sir, here's my purse. In the southern suburb of the at the Elephant is the best to lodge. I will bespeak our diet while you beguile the time and feed your knowledge with viewing of the town. There shall you have me.
Why I your purse?
Happily your eyes shall light upon some toy you have desired to purchase, and your store, I think, is not for idle markets, sir.
I'll be your purse-bearer and leave you for an hour.
To the Elephant.
I do remember.
Exit.
Oof. All right, then. And now we're back in Olivia's garden.
Olivia's garden.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, we got a lot of people here.
You mean the Olive Garden?
Olivia is Stephanie. Maria is me. Malvolio is...
Olivia's.
No, Maria is me.
Yeah.
I was Olivia.
Oh, you were Olivia, right. Malvolio is Zoe. Servant is... Who cares? Toby is Jay. Fabian is Stephanie. Sir Andrew is Emmett. Viola is also... Zoe?
They don't speak to each other, I don't think.
Okay.
In this scene.
And Antonio...
is Mohammed.
Is... Oh, but second, Jay doesn't get to read anybody.
Well,
maybe you
officers
should...
Officers and servants?
Antonio.
Servants? Or Antonio?
Are there servants? Did they say anything, though?
I don't know.
We should probably give him something. He's pretty sad.
Do we put some lines in for the servant?
I don't even know if Antonio says anything.
Just do some ad-libbing.
Do you want... It's a really long scene.
I see servant has a couple lines.
Okay, good. Your servant. Oh, thank goodness. I felt so guilty.
And make sure you read it with a booming voice.
The servant voice! By the way, listeners, I recommend you listen to the entire podcast because there is a certain sonneteer that I got to ship me sonnets from the West Coast that is quite hilarious. I won't tell you which, well, you could probably figure it out, but anyway, he's very funny. So listen to the sonnets at the end. Thank you to our sonneteers for reading them. I think both Stephanie and Zoe have been sonneteers in the past.
One time or two times.
One time or two times or three times. Enter Olivia and Maria. Olivia aside.
I have sent after him. He says he'll come. How shall I feast him? What bestow of him? For youth is bought more oft than begged or borrowed. I speak too loud. Where's Malvolio? He is sad and civil, and suits well for a servant with my fortunes. Where is Malvolio?
He's coming, madam, but in very strange manner. He is sure possessed, madam.
What? What's the matter? Does he rave?
No, madam. He does nothing but smile. Your ladyship, were best to have some guard about you if he come. For sure the man is tainted in wits.
Go call him hither.
Enter, Malvolio.
I am as mad as he, if sad and merry madness equal be. How now, Malvolio?
Sweet lady, ho, ho!
Smilest thou? I sent for thee upon a sad occasion.
Sad, lady? I could be sad. This does make some obstruction in the blood, this cross-gartering. But what of that? If it please the eye of one, it is with me as the very true sonnet is. Please one and please all.
Why, how dost thou, man? What is the matter with thee?
Not black in my mind, though yellow in my legs. It did come to his hands, and commands shall be executed. I think we do know the sweet Roman hand.
Wilt thou go to bed, Malvolio?
To bed? Hey, sweetheart, and I'll come to thee.
God comfort thee. Why dost thou smile so and kiss thy hand so oft?
How do you, Malvolio?
At your request? Yes, nightingales and her dolls.
Why appears you with this ridiculous boldness before my lady?
Be not afraid of greatness, 'twas well writ.
What's thou by that, Malvolio?
Some are born great.
Huh?
Some achieve greatness.
What sayest thou?
And some have greatness thrust upon them.
Heavens, restore thee.
Remember who commended thy yellow stockings.
Thy yellow stockings?
And wish to see thee cross-garter.
Cross-garter?
Go to, thou and maid, if thou desirest to be so.
Am I maid?
If not, let me see thee a servant still.
Why, this is a very midsummer madness.
Enter servant.
Madam, the young gentleman of the Count Orsino's is returned. I could hardly entreat him back. He attends your ladyship's pleasure.
I'll come to him.
Exit servant.
Good Maria, let this fellow be looked to. Where's my cousin Toby? Let some of my people have a special care of him. I would not have him miscarry for the half of my dowry.
Exit with Maria.
Oh, ho, do you come near me now? No worse man than Sir Toby to look to me. This concurs directly with the letter. She sends him on purpose, that I may appear stubborn to him, for she incites me to that in the letter. Cast thy humble slough, says she. Be opposite with a kinsman, surly with servants. Let thy tongue tang with arguments of state. Put thyself into the trick of singularity, and consequently sets down the manner how, as a sad face, a reverend carriage, a slow tongue, in the habit of some sir of note, and so forth. I have limed her, but it is Jove's doing, and Jove make me thankful. And when she went away now, let this fellow be looked to, fellow, not Malvolio, nor after my degree, but fellow. Why, everything adheres together, that no dram of a scruple, no scruple of a scruple, no obstacle, no incredulous or unsafe circumstance, what can be said? Nothing that can be can come between me and the full prospect of my hopes. Well, Jove, not I, is the doer of this, and he is to be thanked.
Enter Toby, Fabian, and Maria.
Which way is he in the name of sanctity? If all the devils of hell be drawn in little, and Legion himself possessed him, yet I'll speak to him.
Here he is. How is it with you, sir? How is it with you, man?
Go off, I discard you. Let me enjoy my private go off.
Lo, how hollow the fiend speaks within him. Did not I tell you, Sir Toby, my lady prays you have care of him?
Aha! Does she so?
Go to! Peace! We must deal greatly with him, let me alone. How you do, Malvolio? How is it with you? What man?
Malvolio.
Defy the devil, consider he's an enemy to mankind.
Do you know what you say?
Lay you, and you speak ill of the devil, how he takes it at heart. Pray God he be not bewitched.
Carry his water to the wise woman.
Marry, and it shall be done tomorrow morning if I live. My lady would not lose him for more than I'll say.
How now, mistress?
Oh, Lord.
Prithee, hold thy peace. This is not the way. Do you not see you move him? Let me alone with him.
No way but gentleness. Gently, gently. The fiend is rough and will not be roughly used.
Why, how now, my bowcock? How dost thou, chuck?
Sir?
Aye, Biddy, come with me. What man? 'Tis not for gravity to play at cherry pit with Satan. Hang him, foul collier!
Get him to say his prayers, good Sir Toby. Get him to pray.
My prayers, minx?
No, I warrant you. He will not hear of godliness.
Go hang yourselves all. You are idle, shallow things. I am not of your element. You shall know more hereafter.
Exit.
Is it possible?
If this were played upon a stage now, I could condemn it as an improbable fiction.
His very genius hath taken the infection of the device, man.
Nay, pursue him now. Let his device take air and taint.
Why, we shall make him mad indeed.
The house will be the quieter.
Come, we'll have him in a dark room and bound. My niece is already in the belief that he's mad. We may carry it thus for our pleasure and his penance, till our very pastime, tired, out of breath, prompt us to have mercy on him. At which time we will bring the device to the bar and crown thee for a finder of madmen. But see.
Enter Sir Andrew.
More matter for a May morning.
Here's the challenge, read it. Warrant there's vinegar and pepper in it.
Is it so saucy?
Aye, it is. I warrant him, but do read.
Gimme. Youth, whatever thou art but a scurvy fellow.
Good and valiant.
Reading.
Wonder not, nor admire not in thy mind, why I do call thee so, for I will show thee no reason for it.
A good note that keeps you from the blow of the law.
He reads.
Thou comest to the Lady Olivia, and in my sight she uses thee kindly, but thou liest in thy throat. That is not the matter I challenge thee for.
Very brief, and to exceeding good sense less.
I will waylay thee going home, where if it be thy chance to kill me.
Good.
Right.
Thou killest me like a rogue and a villain.
Still you keep of the windy side of the law. Good.
Right. Fare thee well, and God have mercy upon one of your souls. He may have mercy upon mine, but my hope is better. And so look to thyself, thy friend, as thou usest him, and thy sworn enemy, Andrew Agacheek. If this letter move him not, his legs cannot. I'll give it to him.
You may have very fit occasion for it. He is now in some commerce with my lady, and will by and by depart.
Go, Sir Andrew. Scout me for him at the corner of the orchard like a bum bailey. So as ever thou seest him draw, and as thou drawest, swear horrible. For it comes to pass off that a terrible oath, with a swaggering accent sharply twanged off, gives manhood more approbation than ever proof itself would have earned him. Away!
Nay, let me alone for swearing.
Exit.
Now will not I deliver his letter, for the behavior of the young gentleman gives him out to be of good capacity and breeding. His employment between his lord and my niece confirms no less. Therefore this letter, being so excellently ignorant, will breed no terror in the youth. He will find it comes from a clodpole. But, sir, I will deliver his challenge by word of mouth. Set upon Agacheek a notable report of valor, and drive the gentleman, as I know his youth will aptly receive it, into a most hideous opinion of his rage, skill, fury, and impetuosity.
He's had a few.
That was intentional, folks. This will so fright them both that they will kill one another by the look, like cockroaches.
Enter Olivia and Viola.
Here he comes with your niece. Give them way till he take leave, and presently after him.
I will mediate the while upon some horrid message for a challenge.
Exit Sir Toby, Fabian, and Maria.
I have said too much into a heart of stone, and laid mine honor too unchary on it. There's something in me that reproves my fault, but such a headstrong, potent fault it is, that it but mocks reproof.
With the same haver that your passion bears goes on my master's griefs.
Here, wear this jewel for me, 'tis my picture. Refuse it not, it hath no tongue to vex you, and I beseech you come again tomorrow. What shall you ask of me that I'll deny? That honor saved may upon asking give.
Nothing but this, your true love for my master.
How with mine honor might I give him that which I have given to you?
I will acquit you.
Well, come again tomorrow. Fare thee well. A fiend like thee might bear my soul to hell.
Exit. Enter Toby and Fabian.
Gentlemen, God save thee.
And you, sir.
That defense thou hast, betake thee to it. Of what nature the wrongs are thou hast done him, I know not, but thy interceptor, full of despite, bloody as the hunter, attends thee at the orchard end. Dismount thy tuck, be ere in thy preparation, for thy assailant is quick, skillful, and deadly.
You mistake, sir. I am sure no man hath any quarrel to me. My remembrance is very free and clear from any image of offense done to any man.
You'll find it otherwise, I assure you. Therefore, if you hold your life at any price, betake you to your guard, for your opposite hath in him what youth, strength, skill, and wrath can furnish man withal.
I pray you, sir, what is he?
He is knight, dubbed with unhatched rapier, and on carpet consideration. But he is a devil in private brawl. Souls and Bing. Bodies hath he divorced three. And his incessment at this moment is so implacable that satisfaction can be none but by pangs of death and sepulchre. Hob, nob is his word. Give it or take it.
I will return again into the house and desire some conduct of the lady. I am no fighter. I have heard of some kind of some kind of men that put quarrels purposely on others to taste their valor. Be like, this is a man of that quirk.
Sir, no, his indignation derives itself out of a very competent injury. Therefore, get you on and give him his desire. Back you shall not to the house, unless you undertake that with me, with which, as much safety you might answer him, therefore on, or strip your sword stark naked. For metal you must, that's a certain, or forswear to wear iron about you.
This is as uncivil as strange. I beseech you, do me this courteous office, as to know of the knight what my offense to him is. It is something of my negligence, nothing of my purpose.
I will do so. Signor Fabian, stay you by this gentleman till my return.
Exit Toby.
Pray you, sir, do you know of this matter?
I know the knight is incensed against you, even to a mortal arbitrament, but nothing of the circumstance more.
I beseech you, what manner of man is he?
Nothing of that wonderful promise to read him by his form, as you are like to find him in the proof of his valor. He is indeed, sir, the most skillful, bloody, and fatal opposite that you could possibly have found in any part of Illyria. Will you walk towards him? I will make your peace with him if I can.
I shall be much bound to you for it. I am one that would rather go with Sir Priest than Sir Knight. I care not who knows so much of my mettle.
Exeunt. Enter Toby and Andrew.
My man, he's a very devil. I have not seen such a farrago. I had a pass with him, rapier, scabbard, and all, and he gives me the stuck in which such a mortal motion that it is inevitable, and on the answer he pays you as surely as your feet hit the ground I step on. I say he has been a fencer to the Sophie.
Pox on it, I'll not meddle with him.
Aye, but he will not now be pacified. Fabian can scarce hold him yonder.
Plague on it, and I thought he had been valiant and so cunning in fence, I'd have him seen damned aright. I've challenged him. Let the matter slip, and I'll give him my horse, great Capulet.
I'll make the motion. Stand here. Make a good show on it. This shall end without the perdition of souls.
Aside.
Mary, I'll ride your horse as well as I ride you.
Enter Fabian and Viola. Ooh. To Fabian.
I have his horse to take up the quarrel. I have persuaded him the youth's a devil.
He is as horribly conceited of him, and pants and looks pale as if a bear were at his heels.
To Viola.
There is no remedy, sir. He will fight with you for its oath's sake. Mary, he hath better bethought him of his quarrel, and he finds that now scarce to be worth talking of. Therefore draw, for the supportance of his vow, he protests he will not hurt you.
Aside.
Pray God, defend me. A little thing would make me tell them how much I lack of a man.
Give ground if you see him furious.
Come, Sir Andrew. There's no remedy. The gentleman will, for his honor's sake, have one bout with you. He cannot by the duello avoid it. But he has promised me, as he is a gentleman and a soldier, he will not hurt you. Come, to it.
Pray God he keepeth oath.
Enter Antonio.
I do assure you 'tis against my will.
They draw.
Put up your sword. If this young gentleman have done offense, I take the fault on me. If you offend him, I for him defy you.
You, sir! Why, what are you?
One, sir, that for his love dares yet do more than you have heard him brag to you he will.
Nay, if you be an undertaker, I am for you.
They draw. Enter officers.
Oh, good Sir Toby, hold. Here come the officers.
To Antonio.
I'll be with you anon.
Steps aside to avoid the officers.
Pray, sir, put your sword up, if you please.
Merry will I, sir, and for that I promised you I'll be as good as my word.
This is the man. Do thy offense.
Antonio, I arrest thee at the suite of Count Orsino.
You do mistake me, sir.
No, sir, no jot. I know your favor well. Though now you have no sea cap on your head. Take him away. He knows I know him well.
I must obey.
To Viola.
This comes with seeking you, but there's no remedy. I shall answer it. What will you do now? My necessity makes me to ask you for my purse. It grieves me much more for what I cannot do for you than what befalls myself. You stand amazed, but be of comfort.
Come, sir, away.
I must entreat you of some of that money.
What money, sir? For the fair kindness you have showed me here, and part being prompted by your present trouble, out of my lean and low ability I'll lend you something. My having is not much. I'll make division of my present with you. Hold, here is half my coffer.
You deny me now? Is it possible that my deserts to you can lack persuasion? Do not tempt my misery, lest that it make me so unsound a man as to upbraid you with those kindnesses that I have done for you.
I know of none, nor know I you by voice or any feature. I hate ingratitude more in a man than lying, vainness, babbling, drunkenness, or any taint of vice whose strong corruption inhabits our frail blood.
Oh, heavens themselves!
Come, sir, I pray you go.
Let me speak a little. This youth that you see here, I've snatched one half out of the jaws of death, relieved him with such sanctity of love, and to his image, which methought did promise most venerable worth, I did devotion.
What's that to us? The time goes by, away!
But oh, how wild and idle proves this god. Thou hast, Sebastian, done good feature shame. In nature there's no blemish but the mind. None can be called deformed but the unkind. Virtue is beauty, but the beauteous evil are empty trunks, overflourished by the devil.
The man grows mad. Away with him! Come, come, sir!
Lead me on.
Exit with officers.
Methinks his words do from such passion fly that he believes himself. So do not I. Prove truth, imagination. Oh, prove true that I, dear brother, be now ta'en for you.
Come hither, knight, come hither. Fabian will whisper o'er a couplet or two of most sage saws.
He named Sebastian, I my brother know, yet living in my glass. Even such and so in favor was my brother. And he went still in this fashion, color, ornament, for him I imitate. Oh, if it prove tempests are kind, and salt waves fresh in love.
Exit.
A very dishonest paltry boy, and more a coward than a hare. His dishonesty appears in leaving his friend here in necessity and denying him. And for his cowardship, ask Fabian.
A coward, a most devout coward, religious in it.
Slit, I'll after again, I'll after him again and beat him.
Do! Cuff him soundly, but never draw thy sword.
And I do not.
Exit.
Well, let's see the event.
I dare lay any money, 'twill be nothing yet.
Exit.
Nice.
Things are starting to come together.
La la la.
Thank you all.
There is a boy who looks exactly like her.
Fancy dresses that! Like her.
Mm.
What a coincidence.
How was that for you all?
It was
good.
Cathartic.
Well, if any of you had any questions about this, you can feel free to leave a question where, Zoe Baldwin?
On the website.
Sure. Really sold
in the
that.
Comments.
I guess.
Something.
If you only would have sold that as well as everybody was selling everybody else's products tonight, it would have been great.
On the website, bardbrawl.com. Comments.
Chewborg.
Twitter.
For the Facebook. Last time.
Something.
For a while, because we know you're coming back.
Meineke.
We would like to thank, well, thank you, Emma, Eric,
me,
Jay First, and Stephanie, and for the last time for a short while, it will be a short while, we will say goodbye to Zoe E.H. Baldwin and Jay J.R.R. C.S.
E.H. Baldwin.
E.H. Baldwin.
It's a G. But now you know.
E plus H equals G.
That's true. Okay, bye.
See you later.
Would you like to?
It's been fun, y'all. Mm. I'm gonna open this beer.
Thank you.
Nice faux southern accent.
Oh, she's actually from the Carolina.
Sonnet 42 by William Shakespeare. That thou hast her, it is not all my grief, and yet it may be said that I loved her dearly. That she hath thee is of my wailing chief, a loss in love that touches me more nearly. Loving offenders, thus I will excuse ye, thou dost love her, because thou knowest I love her. And for my sake even so doth she abuse me, suffering my friend for my sake to approve her. If I lose thee, my loss is my love's gain, and losing her, my friend hath found that loss. Both find each other, and I lose both, twain, and both for my sake lay me on this cross. But here's the joy, my friend and I are one. Sweet flattery, then she loves but me alone.